This is a story about control. My control. Control of what I say, control of what I do. And this time I'm gonna do it my way. I hope you enjoy this as much as I do. Are we ready? I am. 'Cause it's all about control. And I've got lots of it.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Armed and Fabulous. And I have been sitting here diligently speaking into a muted microphone for the last 30 seconds. So, yay! Welcome to your favorite podcast on a Wednesday afternoon. My name is Mikester, and I will be your host. And allow me to introduce the other host, Freedom Guy. Woohoo!
Yes, I'm super excited today because basically, I think a lot of times that as libertarians, we so often call out the weak part of the conservatives, and we have a tendency to leave those alone that spout that they're an anarchist or they're an atheist or they're abolitionists. So I'm kind of excited for us to really get down and dirty and say, you know, who the hell do you think you are to some people?
Okay. But before we do that, I know everybody is just waiting anxiously to hear who we are and where to find us. So in case you didn't hear, we are outright libertarians. So we're the GSM caucus of the Libertarian Party. And you can find us at outrightusa.org. That's our blog. Also, you find us on social media at either facebook.com or twitter.com/outrightusa. If there is a state chapter in your area, and I use the term chapter loosely. So if there is a loosely associated group of people in your state who have a Facebook group, you can find that group by typing the word outright and the name of your state into the search bar of Facebook. So, for example, I would type outright Arizona, because that's where I am, and I would find myself, except I don't have to because it's already on my favorites. But you should put it on your favorites, too, and then you won't have to search for it either. Yay!
Exactly.
And by the way, just real quick, if you do that and you don't find one for your state, get a hold of us and we'll go ahead and set you up with one.
Yes, we will. And that'll really and truly, what a lot of people don't realize what the state things on Facebook really are for is just so you can kind of see what's happening in your state in regards to liberty and freedom, GSM issues, as well as sometimes within your state party as well. So that's the reason those exist and basically the only reason they exist.
Yay. Yep. So that's a great place to connect with other locals. So you can, invade your local Libertarian Party structures with cultural Marxism, allegedly, as today's let me just throw this out there because we've entitled the episode Calling Out Cantwell. I don't really want to because this is like a non-person to me. Like, I already blocked him on my Facebook a long time ago. I try to avoid his blogs as much as possible. But he represents kind of a stereotypical type of person that really is a hindrance to the entire movement. And it's time to just put a name to a face and be like, dude, you're embarrassing us all. You are a big stain on our movement. Please stop. Or at least pretend, admit that you don't speak for us. You don't speak for all libertarians. Paleo-libertarianism is on its way out. It's been on its way out for a while. It's an incredibly unpopular way of looking at things. And brutalism is even worse. So, I don't want to you know, we're going to go through this blog that was posted. It does reference us, and it is on Chris Cantwell's site. And I'll go ahead and give you some free publicity since you gave us some. It's, oh, I don't even know the name of your site. But you can find the link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/outrightusa. And it's there. Well, you're just going to go through it and kind of pick out all the major flaws in reasoning. And just know that it applies to the entire brutalist paleo-libertarian camp. Chris Cantwell is merely a tool that we use to get that message out.
I also want to make sure that all of our people know that, you know, when they go to this, this little blog that he's written, that one of the he has some banners at the top of it that are advertisement, and one of those is the Freedom Book by Adam Kokesh. So keep that in mind of when we're talking about people, and when you look at different people that say that they're libertarians and try to and talk about spouting libertarian ideas, that always look around to see who they're associated with. I mean, a perfect example of that would be if you talked about someone else who is dead to us, and you talked about her, and she tries to call herself that she's a libertarian, and then you look at who all she's involved with. So always look at who the people that we talk about or the people that talk about us, see who they're associated with, and look who we're associated with.
Right. Follow the trail of turds right back to the rabbit hole, and there you will find a seething nest of just, ugh. Ugh. All right. You know, before we, you know, speaking of totally racist scumbags, let's find out who's in the crosshairs. You know, there's another individual who does not speak for me as a libertarian, and it's another one of these people who is actually not even pretending to speak for as libertarianism, really, because he is basically a big, gigantic pile of elephant dookie, proudly and enthusiastically wearing the Republican name so that he can go out there and stampede around being a racist, bigoted scumbag. But for whatever reason, the name libertarian is being connected again with one of these types. I don't think this person may be as bad, or comparatively speaking, Cantwell is actually a little more principled than this person, who is openly an authoritarian piece of crap. You know, at least with Cantwell, he's an anarchist, so his stateless version is moderately less, threatening than someone who. I won't say his name yet, but maybe you can guess. Freedom Guy, do you want to give us a few clues to the identity of this week's target?
Well, this person is running for president, seeking the GOP nomination. He is now pretty much at the top of the polls, which what does that tell you about the GOP base? About the fact that how angry, hateful, bigoted religious right that they are. This person does a lot of media work and also has a line of clothing that is made in Mexico. And he has decided that all Mexicans are even those from all of South America, but he does single out Mexicans to say that they are lazy and dirty and rapist and murderers, and that he even goes on to say that maybe Mexico is sending those people over here on purpose, because leaving a war zone to save your life, your children's life, or to give your children and yourself a better opportunity, is somehow lazy. I mean, I think lazy would just be going into hiding and curling up into a ball. But I've never liked this person. I don't know that that's a good enough hint, but
I think I might know who you're talking about.
I do actually have one of this person's ties because it was given to me as a gift. I think I may donate it to charity and probably to the to maybe the Catholic Church charity, since they obviously help so many Mexicans, and maybe his tie can be sold and help one of those people that he hates.
All right. Well, I think that's enough for me to guess that I think – oh, and he has a bad toupee. Oh, and he – do we have a count on the number of his businesses that have actually went bankrupt? I don't know. I just heard another one did the other – like, I mean, they just – they're dropping like flies. So speaking of lazy, worthless human beings – oh, it's Donald Trump. Bye. So how do you feel now? I'm so glad that's over. Are you?
Well, I've never understood why he was a figure in politics ever. So, I mean, I can't believe that the GOP thinks that actually having someone like that in their field or at the top of their polls makes them appeal to Hispanics, blacks, women, GSMs, basically any minority. I mean, I guess if you're a rich white dude who may or may not, I don't even know if you have to be a Christian anymore, but as long as you're not Jewish, then I guess that's how the GOP is going to roll. And the sad and scary thing is, and I say sad because the old GOP I kind of liked, the GOP may be actually be on its way out.
Well, it certainly is a rotten, stinking, or a rotten sinking ship. That could have went. They're both stinking and sinking. So, yeah. Bye-bye, GOP. And, you know, I will just add, not only do I not do I share your opinion that I don't know why he is a political – I don't even know why his political career is a thing at all. But I second of all, I don't know who let him on stage at Freedom Fest. And I'll just put aside the fact that we've known for a while Freedom Fest was really a GOP front, another attempt to deceive libertarians into believing that you know, social conservatism and fiscally conservative as opposed to fiscal libertarian policies are somehow anything associated with libertarianism. But I digress from the fact that in either case, who let him on stage? How did that happen?
Obviously he paid.
That's all I got. Obviously he paid. And that's why he's in this week's crosshairs, and now it's over.
Now, if you're gonna act like a bitch, then you're gonna die like a bitch.
Oh, I just love that segment. I just love it. Bye-bye, Donald Trump. Bye-bye.
It has got to be probably, based on our intro, our middle, and our indie music, and those that we picked to put in the crosshairs, it has probably got to be one of the better 10-minute segments on the air out there, in my opinion. But I'm a little biased.
Believe me, I know the feeling. So, you know, let's kind of jump into this because he has written that he has vomited this blog onto the internet, and we're named in it towards the end. And the title is Attempts to Reach the Left, an Unmitigated Disaster. So I don't really want to make this about Chris Cantwell other than, calling him out as a big giant shit stain on the movement. But There are a lot of ideas in this blog that are kind of common, and you know, they're floating around in the air and they need to be talked about. So I want to thank Mr. Cantwell for putting them in like a condensed form so we can go through them all in one show. So
Cantwell?
It's just, yeah, one of
No,
those.
It is Cantwell. My mistake. I apologize.
You're making me blush here. All right, so I'm like, I don't know what that is. I'm a gay man. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
Here's the sad part about this whole entire thing, is I read the article, and I know that there are people in the Libertarian Party that feel exactly this way. And what amazes me is, you know, I think it's great that you want to call yourself an atheist. I mean, if that's what you are, I don't have a problem with that. If you want to call yourself an anarchist and an abolitionist, hey, more power to you. But the attack that he specifically does on Outright is in regards to the meme that we did that put the Ron Pauls and the Clintons and the Bushes together. And in my opinion, that would probably make us more of an anarchist. So he should like that, correct?
You really would think so. And
doesn't that meme say that we don't want any rulers? That we don't want a ruling class? We don't want a ruling family? And as an anarchist, wouldn't that be exactly what part of his principled stance is supposed to be?
It would. Now, actually, I'm glad you bring that up. So I'm going to fast forward to about halfway through the blog, because you know on this podcast, our whole theme about Armed and Fabulous is that we're arming you with ideological ammunition. So what we want to give you is knowledge, right? Because the brain is the most – that's the weapon that puts humans at the top of the food chain. So if you can fight on the battlefield of the mind, then you can win. So just want to put this to rest because – in one of these paragraphs, the author of this hit piece calls out a series of things that supposedly are represented by these alleged leftists who are trying to take over and turn it into communism. We'll back up to that part in a minute. And this list includes feminism, homosexuality, transgenderism, in quotes, drugs, promiscuity, abortion, birth control, the abolition of the family. And here's the one I'll zero in right now on. Phony egalitarianism, and I'll read the rest of the list and we'll come back to that one, racism against whites, sexism against men, and a myriad of other nihilistic nonsensical drivel. Speaking of nonsensical drivel. Okay, so that word, that egalitarianism, that's exactly what you just heard Freedom Guy talking about. So I'm going to give you a history lesson, and this is what we've been through this on another show. But the revolutionary period, the Enlightenment period, where the people were and so the printing press had been developed, and it was the age of reason, and people were beginning to mass produce commentary on the aristocracies and the monarchies of the Dark Ages. They were beginning to develop, and human knowledge was expanding in every area. So we got science out of this. We got political theory out of this. We got all kinds of beautiful. We got technology out of that. That transformation is still happening. In fact, the internet has basically been a quantum leap that has kept that going. The point is that that challenge to the aristocracy and the monarchy, the idea that power should not be handed down in a hereditary manner, right, that we're all equal. That's what that phrase is all about, that all men are considered equal, which, you know, that was the language of the day, and obviously now it's all humans. right? Because radical egalitarianism has been around for hundreds of years now. So humanity has finally coped with the fact that not only all men are equal, but all women are equal, all transgender women, all transgender men, anybody who's not a cisnormative identity is equal. And the ruler, the king is not greater than the people or the president or however the ruler is elected. That person is no greater than we. And that radical egalitarianism is not phony, but is the cornerstone of the classical liberalism that became the libertarianism of today.
Exactly. I don't get his take on things. Maybe because I deal with a lot of social issues, and a lot of the issues that are, you know, a little bit more personal to me and I have a little bit more passion about are social, as opposed to those physical issues that we kind of curb the state on. I don't know where any of these that he is talking about are, I mean, his thing is saying that we are, that all of these things are being asked to be embraced and promoted. And he says that that's completely different than leave it be or tolerate. And he goes on to say that it opposes defensive force, freedom of association, and division of labor. I have to tell Mr. Cantwell, you've obviously never even went and looked at any of our posts. You've never listened to any of our shows. Because had you done that, you would see that all we talk about is defensive force and freedom of association, and that it is a that there is a thing about the fact that we're not saying that you have to embrace it or promote it, but you can't fight against those freedoms and liberties. I mean, what he is doing is not leaving it be or tolerating it. He's choosing to fight against it and to attack it. So he's already violating the non-aggression principle just by this piece. I mean, if he went on to say that this is the way that I don't think that they're doing it in the correct manner, and this is the way that I would do it if I was them, that would be different. But basically in his hit piece is he saying that any type of social justice or any type of liberty or freedom, no matter how small, and any attempt to reach out to the left is fair game to be ostracized in any shape, form, or fashion. And he's trying to justify that in as a self-defense mechanism. And that's just not true.
So let me just jump in real quick, and I want to make sure I nail home the connection between what was said about radical egalitarianism and what the Clintons and the Bushes and the Pauls have in common. And what they have in common is that the reputation of the family is considered to reflect upon the others. So, you know, I mean, and, you know, Hillary Clinton has kind of, you know, she has, you know, carved out a bloody path of kind of her own, but she did also kind of, you know, she did Bill Clinton, you know, they're a power family. And the Bushes are the same way. So now Jeb Bush is riding the elder Bushes and George, the junior Bushes, pardon me. And the same thing is happening to Rand Paul. Everybody thinks he's just like and I have news for you. In classical liberalism, we don't transmit hereditary power or reputation. Rand Paul has to earn his own way, and the reality is he's not earning it. He's not. So I'm just going to leave that aside and pick up on the next paragraph after the one that Freedom Guy was just referencing, because I think there's something helpful here to something that can help Mr. Cantwell actually get his story right, which is he's like blathering in this paragraph about how these so-called leftists, among whom he includes us, are trying to claim that this extreme collection of anti-human policies is wholly separate from the economy. So he's taking the phrase fiscal conservative and socially liberal, which I'm not a fiscal conservative, I'm a fiscal libertarianism and a civil libertarian. And he's saying that we're trying to say that they're separate. And then he goes on to deny that the only thing that exists is economic freedom. Excuse me. Not even first of all, this is the thing. We understand that fiscal liberty is indistinguishable from social liberty, right? I am not free unless I am completely free. I am not free unless I am completely free to prosper. Doesn't mean I'm guaranteed prosperity, but I am guaranteed access to it. That's what the right of a free market is that I'm not going to be hindered by this giant social construct, right, that tells me that I am a lesser human being because of who I am or who I love. And the idea of weaponizing the market or weaponizing the idea of free association through boycotts and other tactics, other free market tactics, is in fact putting the two together. It's using the market to get liberated. So this accusation that we're coming from this bizarre place of force, and he completely says that we're coming from an incoherent philosophy, and that, you know, I'll have to pause and let Freedom Guy speak for a minute, because I'm gonna, in a few paragraphs, he proceeds to call us like violent or something, and I'll get to that. But Freedom Guy, you have some comments?
Well, the thing is, I don't know that I can't speak to these other people that he calls out, because I haven't went and studied what they have done and what they've said to say that they're, leftist or not. But I can say that, you know, when he talks to about outright in particular, we almost, if not always, when we speak of any type of social issue, we always talk about it from an economic standpoint. We're probably the first, if not the only, GSM organization out there said that it's okay for them not to make a cake for a gay wedding. That there is that free of association. We've also talked about that by us calling them out on that is what the free market is all about. So if he's talking about the market being free, then I think he actually means that we're doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing.
Right. He wants a free market as long as the only people who are free to act in that market are people just like him. And if the invisible hand chooses to act through other people, for instance, if it moves the GSM community and our allies to organize mass boycotts of bigoted people, for instance, I don't even remember. What was that dating site that had, I don't know, anyway, we all remember that case, right?
Right.
Mozilla. It was the CEO of Mozilla who ended up resigning, and it was because, I can't remember the name of the site. But anyway, Chick-fil-A is another example, except actually that boomeranged and they made extra money. But they also actually rescinded and did penance and actually ended up giving money to pro-GSM. You know, so that market force did work. And that's all the invisible hand at work. All of that is. So if that's a problem for these people, if that is, as he says, working for the purposeful destruction of human civilization so that it might be rebuilt under the Marxist anti-proprietarian version, if that exercise of the free market is Marxist anti-proprietarianism to him, then I don't – like, we're having an absurd conversation that I almost, like, don't even know what else to say. Like, I'm speechless.
Well, I don't know that – I think a lot of times, I mean, he actually says in there in his thing that, you know, his clashes, and he lists all these people that he's had clashes with, and I won't list them now because I don't want to give them airtime because I don't know them well enough to do so. But he says it seems a day doesn't go by without some social justice fanatic occupying my news feeds with leftist anti-reality psychobabble from a purportedly libertarian outfit. So I have never, and I don't know that Outright has ever, posted anything on his newsfeed. That doesn't mean that individuals from Outright haven't commented, but the outfit as a whole has not commented to him. So I don't know if he is lumping us in there specifically because he goes on to say that this year's Porcupine Freedom Festival in Lancaster, New Hampshire, centered more around polyamory, an Orwellian slang for promiscuity, homosexuality, and drugs, than it did on self-defense, strategy, philosophy, economics, or anything else that remotely tied to libertarian intellectual thought. So,
oh my gosh. Just real quick, let me just break this down to a third grade level because I know he's a big attention whore and he's probably going to listen. Polyamory, just break it down. Poly means many. Amory means love. Polyamory means multiple lovers. That's all it means. It doesn't mean drugs. It doesn't mean gay. It doesn't mean promiscuous. It just means more than one lover. All right, continue, Freedom Guy. I just had to clarify
that.
Well,
I mean,
that really irks me.
Well, my question with him, since obviously he was at the Porcupine Freedom Fest, or he looked at everything that they said, was he okay with today's Crosshairs individual being at Porcupine Freedom Fest? I mean, does he go, I mean, are the only reason we're on here is because we called out Rand Paul? Or does he have an actual bigoted view of homosexuality?
Well, he obviously does because he keeps calling it out over and over again. And it's not limited to homophobic statements or heterosexist statements. He's also obviously a sexist, misogynist pig. And he's also obviously a racist. He's also obviously a cisgender supremacist. I mean, the list could go on, and I mean, bless his heart, he's a free person, whatever. But he, I suppose, has the freedom to use language how he wants, and we have the freedom to call him out on it. And if you're going to go around making all these bigoted statements in the name of liberty, and you expect other people not to raise our voices, to lift up what we believe and speak that out and speak our truth and make sure the world knows that, hey, that guy is not with us, then he doesn't understand what free speech is all about. Hey, I think we have a caller, so let's go to the line and see what the caller thinks. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Hi, this is Mark Bernison. Can you hear me?
Hey, Mark. What's up?
Oh, not that much. I'm just getting home from work. I thought I'd tune in. This is the Auntie Cantwell show, correct?
Well, this episode is kind of, yes.
Yeah, I know. I know. For those listening, I was formerly the vice president of political action of the Libertarian Party of Canada. And I recently, about a week ago, had made the call to remove very, in my opinion, troublesome, brutalist libertarian from the ballot up here in Canada, and got a lot of flack for it from some of her fans. And since then, I've been encountering this sort of humanist libertarian versus brutalist libertarian debate head on. And Cantwell actually mentioned me in his article. You know, I've been called all kinds of things in the past 2 weeks, and all of it's ridiculous. I came to libertarianism through Austrian economics, so, you know, to be called, I'm not on the left, but throughout the whole thing, the groups like Outright Libertarians and the USLP, you've all been supportive, and I just thought I'd come in and jump on the anti-Cantwell bandwagon, sorry.
Well, you know, it's the right place to be if you want to be on the right side of history. So, you know, we've actually had he calls out Jeffrey Tucker in the same breath as where he calls you out, or maybe a different paragraph. But Jeffrey Tucker has been on our show before, and we have commented on brutalism and humanitarianism. So let me ask you, because I know that you have, through really, you know, no choice of your own, been, other than doing what was right, been kind of dragged into becoming a flashpoint of this controversy in Canada. So can you comment on, like, comparatively speaking, what has been the character of the people on each side that have spoken out in your direction?
In Canada, recently, in the past year, this one all this kind of started, and I joined the party, and I got really involved. We had a new leader. I won't mention any names, of course, but we had a new leadership come in, and we had a new vision for liberty in Canada, and that was, let's not stand on a soapbox and shout brutalism at people and try to spread liberty by whacking people over the head with it. Let's try to change hearts and minds. Let's get to the 10% tipping point of people who believe and have an unshakable belief in liberty and freedom for all, for everyone. And let's do that by showing people, you know, what liberty can do for them. Let's empower people. Focus on empowering people through, you know, reducing overbearing government, not by ripping the carpet out from everyone and firing everyone and burning down, you know, government and everything. So generally, the people who bought into this new vision of a pragmatic approach, where we don't stray from our principles, but we focus on reaching out to everyone, reaching out to all kinds of different groups that you wouldn't think would be in line with libertarianism. You know, I once emailed the people at this reality show called Ice Leg Rebels or something, up way up north, a group of anarchists, right? And I said, hey, you know, we're doing this cool thing. We're getting really popular. I messaged everyone. My thing was get the message out to everyone as often as I can. And the other side of that's kind of been fighting us, / me, have been the traditionalists, you know, first wave libertarians who, you know, tend to be brutalists, tend to be, you know, okay, well, let's focus, you know, on just standing on our soapbox and, you know, putting out traditional, you know, the, if you kind of understand my meaning, you know.
Yeah. So have you been able to, like, well, because I guess I'll put it, you know, in terms of my own experience, I've sometimes been a target of that type of messaging too. And what I have found is that there's a real hostility and a real aggression and a real, did I just use the word aggression? Yeah, I consider it, like, I get it. I've never been physically physically attacked, I get that. So technically, no coercion has happened. But if I just look at people who are expressing humanitarian libertarian values, and then I look at the way brutalist libertarians are expressing themselves, I notice a marked difference in the quality of the message and the way that message resonates with me. I mean, I came from the liberal left, and I know that if I had encountered a brutalist, because I had a stereotypical idea of what a libertarian was, and had I encountered one of these brutalist types in that early transition period, I would have ran the other way. I would have ran as fast as I could, as far away as I could. And in my opinion, hearing it from a patient person who explained things in a humanitarian way was the way I got across that bridge. So, you know, I think the greater potential is there. I think your party was on the right track. So is the U.S. Libertarian Party in most cases is kind of moving in that direction. I mean, I didn't mean to start like monologuing. Freedom Guy, do you have a question for Mark?
Yeah, Mark. Do you find it difficult that the individuals that are in this brutalist or have this brutalist way of doing things, do you find it difficult in the confrontations that they instigate, and then when you respond, somehow you're the aggressor?
Yes, I very much do. Throughout this whole thing, through the situation, I don't know if you're familiar with, but there was a Breitbart article and Christopher Campbell commented on the situation. But I am no longer with the Libertarian Party of Canada. But I made a decision. It was a difficult one. I didn't want to make it, but I made it. I won't get into the details. And I got a lot of bad response for it. But the response was very much I was picking on her, and that's the sort of thing with brutalists I find is that, you know, anytime you're sort of trying to defend yourself against this brutal, and then they call you an SJW and a leftist, and you're just a socialist who's trying to take over the Libertarian Party with your it was ridiculous. I came from the Conservatives, you're just trying to defend yourself and say, look, I'm not that. I think we can reach more people if we're nice to people when we're talking about libertarianism, and it very much puts you on the defensive. And it's unfortunate that that's the case because, I shouldn't be on the defensive. I'm not wrong, right? As I apologize for sounding arrogant there, but you know.
Well, and I agree. I think what the brutalists have a habit of doing is what actual leftists, in my opinion, do, which is as soon as you call them out on their attacks, they claim play the victim card. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in Texas, Mark, and I'm on the state executive board and the platform chair on the platform chair committee, and I've already been accused of trying to turn the Libertarian Party of Texas into the Gay Party of Texas. So,
you know what? I've been accused of that too. I'm not sure what the technical. I apologize. I'm new to the. You know, I came from the Conservatives like 3 years ago. Up in Canada, there's not Republican Party, of course. Technically, Republicanism is still legal in Canada. It's one of those outdated laws everyone forgets about. But it's called the Conservative Party, and I left them and joined the Libertarian Party. And I'm sorry, I just suddenly lost my train of thought.
Have you thought about running for office since you do have that whole entire philosophy of being nice and trying to reach out to as many people from as many walks of life as possible?
I ran for office in the Ontario Libertarian Party. I came in the top 10% of our candidates, even though it was my first time. I had only a week to campaign, no team, no budget, nothing. I got 800 votes, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it ended up about 2% of the vote, which is not terrible, considering historically it was like half of 1%. And then I was gearing up for a federal campaign. In addition to VP, I was also going to run in my home riding, and I had a lot of things in place, and of course for that, and I haven't ruled out running as an independent. But I just couldn't. In the end, I still believe in everything the Libertarian Party of Canada is saying, and the USLP as well. But it's just there are a lot of people who are running for the party, who are working with the party, that have views that are, in my opinion, contradictory. They contradict our statement and principles. It says right in our states of principles, we believe in open borders. And a lot of these people are very much closed borders, attacking people who are on welfare. That's not what we're about. You know, I see people who are in these programs as victims of the state, right? And we shouldn't be trying to pull the carpet out from underneath them. We should be trying to, you know, fix the problems beyond that, with, you know, employment and stuff. But I haven't ruled out an independent run. Just in Canada, the laws are a bit. I understand in the United States there are issues with ballot access and debate. Most of the debates in Canada are private, so we get a debate depending on whether the organizers feel like inviting us. But the ballot access is very open. Just in order to actually run, you need there's a large deposit of money involved, and not a lot of us have it. So that's the only issue for me.
I will say
what I'm taking from what you said is that even though in this article. Mr. Cantwell is claiming to have like a corner on outreach, and he's got the right answer. And if we just stick to this very paleo-libertarianism message, that we're going to attract more people. And what I'm hearing you saying is that by sticking very closely to this message, it's actually driving people away, because you're one of the more successful candidates that party has ever had, and you're leaving. You left.
Others have left, but others on the brutalist side have left as well in the past year. We have an expression up here, and that is eventually people graduate from the Libertarian Party because they get frustrated with the lack of success, and they just go off into other things. That's not really what has happened in my case. I haven't ruled out coming back. It's just I don't want to chain my reputation to these, in my opinion, some of them are quite hateful people. But I wouldn't call myself among the most successful candidates. We've had some big name candidates up here run. But for me, the issue is more that a lot of these people may agree on a lot of the same platform points, but in my opinion, for the wrong reasons. And I don't believe the enemy of my enemy is my friend. When I speak against brutalists in the Canadian Libertarian Party, I'm not referring to the Cantwell types who understand libertarian principles, just apply them in a way I don't agree. There are a lot of people who I call conservatarians who use the brutalist approach, but on many issues actually, you know, go stray from libertarian principles. So those are my concerns, that there's a lot of people advocating things that aren't libertarian, and I'm sort of want to distance myself from that.
Well, right. I understand that, Mark, and I think it's great that you called in and gave us your viewpoint, not only on what goes on in Canada as well as with brutalism as a whole, but also with Mr. Cantwell.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry if I sounded bitter. I'm not. I'm a nice guy.
It's all right. I got a lot of hope out of what you said, because I know that, you know, I heard you say that you haven't ruled out coming back, and, you know, that just, you know, it gives me hope for the future that people who are principled libertarians, even if we get frustrated sometimes and we need a break, that there's always that future that will continue to, you know, to present a unified voice and move forward for liberty. So thank you for calling in today.
Yeah, thank you. And you mind if I leave you with something I've been saying lately? It cheers myself up and cheers with. This is what I told this candidate. And what I said was that, you know, we all want to promote liberty. We all want to spread liberty. We all have to ask ourselves the best way to do that. And for some of us, it's hosting radio shows and writing blogs and that, and for some of us it's running. So, you know, there are all kinds of ways we can help out, and you're right, sometimes we do need a break, but in the end we're all on the same team, even if it doesn't seem like that sometimes. So I think it's important to focus on the real enemy. There's no left versus right, humanist versus brutalist. It's, you know, it's us, the people, versus the state, really. So I think we should always remember that, even when we're, you know, bickering and infighting. But thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks,
yes,
Mark.
Thank you for being on it. That was a great final thought.
Great. Thanks.
Well, Mr. All Cantwell, and you know, I think it's I really like it when we have a guest that comes on and validates what we're saying, so that, you know, sometimes, you know, I have to ask myself, am I really approaching this the right way? Am I taking this too personal? Was a meme or a comment that I made, should I have really made it? And having somebody like Mark on, and then also getting vilified by Mr. Cantwell in this vile blog, tells me that yes, I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and doing it the right way. So I just think that, you know, when Mr. Cantwell talks about that those in our in these groups don't understand freedom of association, guess what, Mr. Cantwell? We do understand freedom of association. That's why we're choosing not to associate with you.
Okay, hear, hear. I mean, I almost couldn't have said it better myself. But I'll start babbling and maybe I'll get there. No, just kidding. So I want to come back. We have like about 8 minutes. We have probably about 5 minutes left before we start saying, you know, goodbye. But I just want to, because he continues to make this comparison between those of us who prefer to speak for why liberty for all is such good news, right? Those of us who like to emphasize the egalitarian side of classical liberalism. He likes to compare us to communists. And so I just want Mr. Cantwell to know, and everybody else who thinks like this, we have the non-aggression principle for a reason. It's a rational foundation that we use to determine whether human behavior is ethical or not. So we go by the, I hear it outright, libertarians, everything we do is grounded in the non-aggression principle. Most of us are Libertarian Party members, and we've taken the membership pledge that we will not initiate coercion. We will not advocate the initiation of coercive force or fraud to achieve political or social goals. We are behind the platform of the Libertarian Party 100%, and some of us are even anarchists, just like Mr. Cantwell. And I'll put aside the fact that actually purist communism is also a stateless philosophy, and just say that the caricature he's drawing of us as full-blown, bloody, murdering statists is actually very similar to the way that many people try to smear capitalism. So he's taking these very, like, ugly things that the empire, or that, you know, well, our empire claims to be a capitalist one, but the communist empires have done. He's taking the blood on their hands, and he's trying to smear it on us. And it has no more logical validity than it does when actual radical leftists try to smear libertarianism with the blood that is on the hands of the crony capitalist empire.
Agreed. And I have to say to all those people that were attacked in this vile blog, you must be doing something right, and you must be making some type of progress, or you wouldn't be mentioned at all.
I totally agree. You know, when I heard that we had been mentioned in this blog, I got really excited. I actually rejoice in the idea that this vile blogger has allowed us to get under his skin. I hope every moment of discomfort It's just I wish I could just lick the tears off his puffy little face. But that would require
look at the progress that Outright has made. I mean, you know, look at the progress that we've made in the fact that, you know, being around and being the GSM caucus and the fact that, you know, we're a bridge to the Libertarian Party. We're a bridge to those that are independents that are liberty-minded and those libertarians that are not part of the party. And we're a bridge to those anarchist libertarians. And the fact that we make an effort to be a bridge to those anarchist libertarians, and I would say probably do so of those other people that are being attacked, is probably where he finds the most or takes the most offense at, because the anarchists are his bunch. How dare you talk to the anarchist? How dare you say something that they might agree with and bring them into the fold? So you would think that if he was a true anarchist and a true abolitionist, and I'm assuming he's a libertarian, but that's not one of the three things he claims to be, if those were really who and what he was, he would be embracing especially Outright libertarians for the work that we do and looking in ways that we can work together and form those coalitions. But he's so scared of losing any type of face or power, which means he's not an anarchist because he's scared of losing that power. It's why he goes on the attack.
Right. So, and like, we have a stated mission to build a bridge and to be that bridge, that inviting bridge that people cross to libertarianism. Meanwhile, Mr. Cantwell has chosen to drive a wedge. And I'll just kind of leave everybody on this thought, because Mr. Cantwell actually changed his tagline. So I think this is a sign that we're succeeding as well. He used to identify as anarchist, atheist anarchist asshole. And I guess he got so much shit that he changed it to abolitionist. And I won't even get into the fact that abolitionism has always also been a socially liberating movement, right? Because it freed the slaves, which was an economic freedom for them. You know, let's be real, not being owned is obviously a fiscal libertarian outcome, but it was also a social one. So the fact that he had to change and that he chose a socially liberating word to replace it with is a sign that we are the ones who are winning. We're succeeding, and that's good news.
I agree, and I have been your freedom guy.
And I am the Mikester. We will be back next week.